Well, hey there, campers, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Camp Cryptid. I'm your host, Erica Fett, and this week I am so excited and so ready to talk about the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle. Now, growing up in the 80s and 90s, I feel like I always saw stuff on the news, in magazines, everywhere, all about the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle. And it was one of those things that was always kind of like one of Earth's mysteries. And I always loved hearing about it. And I've always been kind of like a person who has loved the mysteries of the sea. So, of course, the Bermuda Triangle was right up my alley. Now, the Bermuda Triangle has had hundreds of ships and planes that have gone completely missing, leaving no trace. There have been numerous UFO sightings, and strange lights are said to glow from under the water in this mysterious part of the ocean. But there was one thing that was for sure that most people were afraid of back in the 80s and 90s, and that was the fear of acid rain just pouring down all over us, melting our skin away, or ever having to take a trip over the Bermuda Triangle. But it was one of the mysteries that eluded many of us young kids growing up, especially in the 80s and 90s, and inspired me and many people to be enthralled in the many mysteries of Earth. And the Bermuda Triangle was just always something that kind of like stuck in the back of my head. Well, as I was sitting here, you know, one day I was like, why don't we hear much about the Bermuda Triangle anymore? Like, what happened to the Bermuda Triangle, right? Then I just decided, I was like, you know what, let's just do a deep dive on it. And like, let's figure out what happened with the Bermuda Triangle. And if the Bermuda Triangle is as elusive as, you know, it once was back, you know, a couple decades ago. So the Bermuda Triangle is a triangular area in the Atlantic Ocean, and it is off the coast of Miami, Florida. Well, pretty much off the coast of Florida, and it spreads east to Puerto Rico and then north to the island of Bermuda. So it is a large part of sea. It's a 500,000 square miles of sea. And due to its location, it is susceptible to storms and multiple storm systems from the south, north, and the east coming together. And it causes very awful turbulent storm systems for those that are navigating that area. Although it's known as the Bermuda Triangle now, the area was originally called the Devil's Triangle by seamen and pirates, which leads you to think the area has always had some kind of like nefarious thing about it. So I think that that is worth noting, is that this area has kind of always had a little bit of mystery and a little bit of some legends about it. So I think that that's kind of fun. The mysterious tales of the Devil's Triangle are also accompanied by legends about buried pirate treasures and giant sea monsters that prey on the crews, and it leaves the ships out to ghostly wander through the waters. And there are tales of ghost ships, and there are tales of sea monsters in this region, and it is just a really cool area. And I thought, you know what? What better little mystery to talk about this week than the Bermuda Triangle, right? So let's get into it. So over 700 boats and 120 planes have gone missing in this region just in the last few decades. So that is a large number that have been reported. Now, that's just reported. We don't know if there are other boats that are going down that aren't reported. So I think that that is pretty crazy. And it's crazy to think that as early as 1492, there have been weird things documented about this area of the sea. Like I said, pirates have had little urban legends about this area. And also Christopher Columbus, on his first voyage, noted a couple weird things about this area. Not only did he note that there was a flame of fire that crashed in the sea a little bit beyond where he was sailing, but he also complained about his compass not working as well. Because the compass wasn't working, thankfully, the crew just defaulted to reading the constellations and the North Star for guidance to get them to where they needed to go. But compass problems were not something that was just exclusive to Christopher Columbus's crew. There have been many, many other sailors and navigators that have also had these same problems of their compass not working in this area. So it led people to think like, well, is there like magnetic poles? Is this an area of the world that is more susceptible to different types of elements? So I think that that is also one of the weird things that have happened over the Bermuda Triangle. So in the early 1700s with the Golden Age of Pirates, there were tales floating around about pirate ships encountering giant squids as well in the region. There were multiple times where there were urban legends where pirates would say, you know, like if you were traveling this region, beware of the giant kraken and the giant squids and the giant monsters that are in that region, because they've been like stripping crews off the decks of these boats, which is pretty crazy to think about. And honestly, with all the research we have now, we know that there are probably definitely giant squid out in the ocean. We just don't know how big they are. There have been a ton of different depictions of squids and giant, giant octopus and squid-like creatures attacking these boats. for a long time now, and it's always been a tale to tell when it comes to these sea creatures, when it comes to sailing. So, you know, the Bermuda Triangle is riddled with not only now, you know, mysterious disappearances, but you've got compass problems by most navigators, and then you've got a lot of tales of sea creatures. So I think that that is very notable about this region. So I think that's pretty cool too. Now, not only were there giant squids, there was also a region in this area that was noted by many early sailors. And what it was this area of the sea and the Bermuda Triangle that kind of spread east towards the continent of Africa. But it was this area that almost looked meadow-like because you had these giant kelp-like plants that created this area that was hard for sailors to get out of. And it's called the Sargasso Sea now, but it basically is this area of the Bermuda Triangle where it's kind of like, I think it was depicted in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. I can't remember, but I remember seeing it in a movie. But it's this area that almost looks like this, the seaweed is just like makes it look like a meadow instead of the sea. And it is hard for people to navigate out of this area because the kelp makes it so hard to actually like get a good drift. So they have found many different ghost ships in this area that have just kind of like been left to just sail this like little area of this Sargasso Sea. So I think that that is pretty cool. The Sargasso Sea is definitely very interesting. And I like went to go research it and I looked up people like diving under it and it just looks so creepy and crazy. And you know, when you add all of these mysterious elements to the ocean and you've got these areas that make it hard for ships to navigate and they get stuck in it and it's like so thick. Actually, there was something that I was reading about this kelp that when it washes up on shore, it actually, if you let it dry out, it actually releases like a toxic gas. So, I mean, it is so crazy to think about all of these things, but I just thought that that was really neat. But, you know, the Sargasso Sea was definitely a little interesting tidbit about the Bermuda Triangle because you don't think that like the Bermuda Triangle would have anything like that, but it does, which is so crazy. So speaking of the Sargasso Sea, there have been many ghost ships, right? And it's something that, you know, pirates have talked about, whether it be ghost ships because these sea monsters are like taking their tentacles and grabbing people off the decks, right? Well, there is a tale from the late 1800s about a ship called the Ellen Austin. And this Ellen Austin ship found an abandoned small boat around the area of the Sargasso Sea within the Bermuda Triangle. Now, about 2 days after trying to make contact with this small boat and making sure it wasn't some sort of like pirate trap for them, they ended up rowing over and boarded this small ship and found something peculiar. Not only was the entire crew missing, the logbook and the nameplate of the vessel were missing as well. So someone removed the nameplate from the ship. Now, as the crew investigated this small ship, they realized it was loaded with supplies and cargo still, and it also had plenty of food and water for the voyage, so they were kind of perplexed as to what happened to the crew. And there was no sign of violence or mutiny, so they were kind of left with this mystery of what happened to this crew of this small ship. Now, the captain of the Ellen Austin decided to pay some of his crew to sail the ship back with the Ellen Austin and bring it back to land with them, you know, maybe get a prize for the cargo that was left on it. So the captain of this Ellen Austin decided to pay some of his crew to go aboard and bring it back with them. Now, as the crew went aboard, there was a bad storm that separated these two ships for a while. And as they, you know, as the storm cleared, the captain of the Ellen Austin, you know, tried to make contact with his crew aboard this small ship and make sure that they were okay. Now, when the storm lifted and they got reunited with this small boat again, they realized that the crew was missing again. There was no crew. So this small ship had lost its second crew that we know of. So despite it being kind of like a weird feeling, the captain of the Ellen Austin paid another crew to go out and try to bring it back to land with them. And despite the crew being like, there's something weird about this, we don't have a good feeling, he paid them a hefty amount and reassured them, no, it was probably just the storm, it should be fine. So as the second crew of the Ellen Austin boarded this small abandoned vessel, they decided, okay, maybe it's fine, let's just go with it. Well, they started on the trip going back, and next thing you know, a heavy fog surrounded the area and made it to where the boats could not see each other. So, of course, you've got these crazy storms. Now you've got fog. So as this heavy fog sets in, it separates the two ships. But then after a while, when the heavy fog lifts, they realize that Not only did the fog lift, but the boat disappeared. There was no trace of this small boat and the small crew from the Ellen Austin that had boarded it to take it back. So you've got this creepy story now that kind of added to the lore of this region. And you've got now this weird incident where not only was the original crew missing from this small ship, it had a logbook missing. It had no signs of violence or mutiny from where, you know, the sailors on the ship were, you know, unhappy with the conditions. But you've also got now two crews that are missing, and now the entire boat is missing. So I thought that was a really cool story. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's out of the question that with the storms, people didn't get thrown overboard, right? It happened a lot back then. Even in the years before with the Ellen Austin, they reported losses due to storms from people being swept off the deck. So there are definitely stories where these ships have docked after going through the Bermuda Triangle. And because of the storms, and how I said earlier that this area is susceptible to so many storm systems and violent storms and turbulent storms and some other crazy things like rogue waves that could happen. So I'm not saying that it's unlikely that these people didn't, you know, completely get washed overboard, but it is a little mystery that I think is very interesting. Now, one of the largest losses in the Bermuda Triangle was the USS Cyclops, which was a cargo ship. And in 1918, 300 lives were lost in the Bermuda Triangle on this cargo ship. Now, the Cyclops was carrying like 10,000 tons of manganese ore from the Barbados to Baltimore on a 9-day voyage. And this ore that it was carrying was heavier than its normal loads. So I think that is notable in this case. Now, prior to its disappearance, it was reported at dock that it was running on one of two of its engines, and it was also floating low from this heavy load of ore. So the heavier cargo definitely made it a lot heavier and made it sink a lot lower in the water than its normal loads would. Now, they never found a single item from the USS Cyclops, and they also never had a distress call come in from the USS Cyclops. And it also added to this region feeling a lot more dangerous, but also a lot more mysterious. And it also cemented a feeling like it was the Devil's Triangle, right? you've got missing boats. You've got stories of sea monsters. You've got stories now from Christopher Columbus saying that he saw balls of fire crash into the sea. So you've got all of these mysterious stories and urban legends. And, you know, imagine over the course of hundreds of years, the amount of tales that were being told about this region. So this region is definitely a peculiar one. I mean, even in 1928, the famous aviator Charles Lindbergh said he was lost in fog for hours in the region. And then there are other stories about other flights being lost as well. So like Flight 19, which was five Navy bombers from Fort Lauderdale that were heading to the Bahama Islands on a routine flight, basically came up missing. Basically, they had reports from the planes that their compasses were malfunctioning and they disappeared. They sent in a search plane to go search for those planes, and that also came up missing and was never seen again. And then, you know, you had in the 1950s where journalists got a hold of all of these stories and kind of compiled them. And then you have this giant sensationalism of the Bermuda Triangle. So there were many disappearances in the Bermuda Triangle, whether it be, you know, ships or planes. And so it definitely added to people really hyping up this area as being like one of Earth's major mysteries. And that's, you know, growing up in the 80s, like I said, the Bermuda Triangle was one of those things where it was like, okay, I never want to have to fly over the Bermuda Triangle or sail over the Bermuda Triangle, because it was like, you didn't know back then if it was like this like time warp, if you were going to get sucked into like a parallel universe. And you know what the funny thing is there are stories about time warps in the Bermuda Triangle. There was in the 70s, I believe, Bruce Gernon, who was a pilot, was flying through the area, and he said something about the fog in the area, just like a lot of these other people have experienced. But he said there was something strange in the fog. There was almost like a warp tunnel that he traveled through. And when he traveled through this warp tunnel, it actually made him arrive at his locations like 30 minutes prior to what he thought he would. So he believed that this fog was almost like an electronic fog, like a time warp through time that was charged and that could like basically get you from point, like almost like a wormhole, which I think is very interesting too, because stories of fog in the Bermuda Triangle, it's not like this is the first time we've heard about fog, right? There have been many times where people have complained about the fog. So I think that's pretty, pretty interesting. Now, I will say when it comes to UFOs and stuff, there have been a lot of sightings of UFOs also in this region. But I think that is also interesting to note that AUTEC, which is basically the Navy's Area 51, is also located in the Bermuda Triangle. So they are studying not UFOs, but USOs, which I think is very interesting. Now, someone needs to get me a pass to go there because that is the one time I will go to the Bermuda Triangle is to visit this. So. But yeah, so in the 1980s, there were pilots that said very weird objects were in the sky, and it made them lose their course and sent, actually, there's a Mayday distress call that was sent in about the objects that made them go off course. So there have been many UFO sightings also in this area. So I think that that is definitely interesting to know. So people have been navigating this region for centuries, and this is a very, very populated region for not only trade, but for people going from point A to point B when it comes to these little islands, you know, to the coast of the United States. So it is a very populated travel route. Now, what could be happening in this region, right? So we've got tales of sea monsters. We've got tales of electronic fog causing time warps. We've got tales of compasses not working for both, you know, navigators in the ocean and pilots. You've got stories of ghost ships. You've got stories of this Sargasso Sea with these crazy kelp-like meadows where it causes these ships to not be able to set sail and not be able to navigate out of them. So it is a very interesting region, right? So what could it be? Could it be magnetic poles? Could it be time warps? So could it be a rogue wave that caused some of these ships to capsize? And then obviously no one would find their wreckage because they were thousands of feet under the sea. Could it be a maelstrom? Whirlpools are not something that is new to the ocean. There are many different parts of, especially off the coast of the United States, where there are whirlpools. And I will say, if you get on a little rabbit hole deep dive of whirlpools and maelstroms, they are pretty terrifying and they do get pretty big. And if you think about the different types of storm systems coming together in this region, I don't think it's far off to think that that is something that could also happen. And especially because some of these ships, while some of them were big, some of these ships that have crashed are not the largest of the cargo ships. You know, you've got different sizes of ships that are coming up missing. And so I think that that is worth noting. Could it be aliens coming through? We have tons of UFO sightings. We have tons of reports that say that there are weird lights in the ocean, that there are balls of fire now coming in and crashing into the ocean. So could it be aliens? I don't really think it's aliens. I do like the theory of aliens living in Hollow Earth, and I could go on a whole rant about aliens live in Hollow Earth and they come up through the ocean. And, you know, there are lots of stories about alien craft crashing into the water or going underwater or coming up from the water, showing that there's like bubbling under the water before a disc-shaped object flies up from under the ocean. I don't know. I sat here and I read all of this and I was like, I think it seems like a pretty logical explanation to all of this is that this is just a normal piece of ocean with a lot of traffic, right? It's got deep trenches. My takeaway from all of this when it comes to the Bermuda Triangle is that maybe the Bermuda Triangle has a couple mysteries, but for the most part, it just seems like a normal piece of the ocean that has a lot of traffic and deep trenches that make salvage missions harder than shallow water. There's a lot of ships that have traveled this region. It's a very popular trade and travel route. So of course, there's going to be more reports of boats coming up missing. It could be more likely that people get caught up in the storm systems and don't know how to navigate it. And unfortunately, the sea is not forgiving, right? The sea is, you have to have respect for it, right? And there are many deep trenches that are also in this region that would make it hard for salvage and rescue missions to come in and try to find these wrecked planes. And some wrecks are literally visible out of the water. Like you could be flying over or even just on a little kayak going through some of these shallow waters and see some of the debris from the flights and the ships that have had unfortunate courses there. So imagine how much we can't find due to the depths of that entire area. I mean, the deepest part of the Atlantic Ocean is called the Milwaukee Depth, and it's over 27,000 feet deep, and it's just northwest off the coast of Puerto Rico in a trench called the Puerto Rico Trench, and that is located in the Bermuda Triangle. So you have to think that it would make it incredibly hard to find some of these boats that have gone missing, or if they have capsized, to find some of these, you know, the debris from these unfortunate encounters. But to me, while the Bermuda Triangle, it always sounded fun growing up thinking like, oh yeah, there's definitely like a sea monster or a parallel universe. I think actually one of the movies, oh, I can't remember what it's called, actually has, it's about the Bermuda Triangle, and it's like a parallel universe where they're like stuck in time. So I think that popular culture and media has sensationalized the story of the Bermuda Triangle, because who doesn't love a good mystery, right? Who doesn't love thinking that there is something weird and creepy going on? And I'm not saying that every single thing over the past couple, you know, hundreds of years can be explained by just one thing. But I do think that there are some logical explanations for this area and the huge amount of incidents that happen in this area. And that, you know, just comes down to the fact that it is a popular travel and trade route and has been forever. You know, pirates in the golden age of piracy were going down in this region and burying their treasures. So of course, you know, over hundreds of years, you get stories of, oh, sea monsters, because who wants to go in an area where you think that there's going to be a sea monster and go find this buried treasure if you think there's a giant kraken under the surface or a giant squid that's going to steal people off the deck of the boat, right? So it's kind of like maybe like warning tales so people don't go to this region to go find these buried treasures, because there's apparently a lot of buried treasure in that region. So so let's all go to the Bermuda Triangle now, because now we know. But also just normal sea occurrences, like rogue waves are some of those things where they didn't even really know that rogue waves really existed until like in the past couple decades, right? So rogue waves are like unexplainable. They don't really know why they happen. They don't know where they happen. They can't even really plan them. They just know that they exist. And I think they said like the biggest rogue wave was like over like 90 feet tall. Like, could you imagine? And now imagine you're on this tiny little sailboat, right? And you're in this area that's set, like, that has so many storm systems coming through and has such bad weather. You've got these crazy storms that just show up on a dime, and then now you've got a rogue wave. There are tons of things that also say like some of these boats were not equipped to be in this region, and especially with like the USS Cyclops, the heavy load definitely made it harder for it to tread water and for waves. And there are different things with like ship design that could have impacted this, that could have caused, you know, these ships to unfortunately come up missing for whatever reason it could be. So there's a lot of logical explanations when it comes to the Bermuda Triangle. Now, I'm not saying that every single logical explanation is a reason that these things have happened. You know, obviously I have no logical explanations for the UFO sightings because honestly, I don't know if it's UFOs. I don't know. Yeah, I want to believe that aliens exist, and I want to believe that they have the power to, you know, travel. They've obviously mastered physics in some way. I would think that if they wanted to harm people or hurt people in that region, they could. But I don't think that aliens are a reason that these ships are wrecking or capsizing or just coming up missing. I don't really think that they're getting like beamed up, but maybe they are. I cannot say 100%, but hey, it's okay. Like I said, though, I think that when it comes to Bermuda Triangle, it was one of those things where I was just sitting there and I was like, what? You know, why don't we hear much about it anymore? And I think that it's the reason is because we realize that there's a lot about the ocean that can happen in the ocean. And especially if people are not experienced sailors in that region, especially with it being having so many storm systems that can come through and show up in a minute's notice. So I think that it is a part of the ocean, and the ocean is a scary place. It is a magnificent place, but it is also a very scary place. And it is one of those things where I feel like I wish we put a lot of, I mean, we have so much research on the ocean, right? There are so many like marine biologists that are researching the animals of the ocean and the ecosystems of the ocean. But I wish that like we put as much into researching the ocean and the ocean floor and these, you know, strange like maelstroms and whirlpools and rogue waves. I wish we knew more about them, because I feel like the more we learn about our ocean, the more we know about our planet. And I'd like them to finally discover Hollow Earth. So I think that's my takeaway. Let's just get more research on the ocean so we can really finally talk about Hollow Earth. So yeah, I just really wanted to talk about the Bermuda Triangle just because I kind of wanted to get on my ocean kick, because I've been having patrons vote on the cryptid episodes. And one of the cryptid episodes that is kind of winning the poll right now on Patreon is American Sea Creatures and Cryptids. And then I was like, when I saw that, and I was like, I have to talk more about the ocean. There's so much creepy stuff in the ocean. And, you know, the idea of giant sea monsters, like, listen, I will tell you, I grew up on way too much sci-fi and way too much horror to not think that there's not like creepy giant squids and giant kraken in the ocean, because I totally believe it could happen. And there have been stories, I think I talked about it on a previous episode, about how there are sailors who have experienced giant squid attacking them. And there was actually, I can't remember what episode I talked about it in. It might have been, I don't remember. I'll have to come back and talk about this. But how this man was left with giant lesions on his legs from where a giant like squid, basically its tentacle and the suckers basically sucked his like skin off of his leg. So he was like left with all of these scars from this giant squid attack. So there are for sure incidents where people have been attacked by giant squid in the ocean. So I don't think it's obviously these stories originate from somewhere, right? And obviously people have depicted, you know, giant squid attacking boats for like literally hundreds of years. So I just think that I think that like things like Loch Ness are hard to prove, I don't necessarily think that they're so far out of the realm of possibility to exist. But maybe I'm just a dreamer, right? maybe this comes down to the fact that, like I said, I grew up on way too much sci-fi, reading way too many sci-fi books growing up. And I don't know. I really enjoy the theories. But I will say one thing that's notable, how I mentioned earlier in the Bermuda Triangle about how people's compasses were always messing up. They did find that there are parts of that region that are kind of affected by the magnetic poles. But they found that now, since people use satellite to navigate, people are not having as many problems with their compasses. So, you know, science has over time has helped the region with compass issues. So I think that is notable as well. Whether it's, you know, maelstroms, aliens, rogue waves, or just normal random sea stuff that's happening. The Bermuda Triangle has had a lot of mysteries, but I do think that there are rational explanations for some of these mysteries. But like I said, just because there's rational explanations for some things doesn't mean that everything has a rational explanation. So hopefully this inspires you all to do like a little deep dive. And one of you is probably way better at reading this ocean stuff than I am. And maybe we've got some ocean experts listening. And I would love to hear people's opinions on this. Like I said, there are so many different ghost ships that have been found in the region, and I could literally do like 8 parts to this, but I really just wanted to kind of like dive in real quick and do like a fun little like recap of everything. And then I'll go back through, because like I really want to do like an entire episode on ghost ships. So I'm trying to like save some content for later for you all, but I don't know. I love the sea, and my trip to Boston was amazing because I got to, you know, smell the ocean air. And maybe it's the inner Viking in me that's like, I love to be out on the ocean. Because as soon as we took that ferry from Boston to Salem, I was like, I need to buy a boat, like right now. I need to buy a boat. Like, I'm going through my sailor phase. Everything in my house then, I bought all this nautical stuff. Well, I already had some nautical stuff, but I made like an entire wall, my nautical wall. And I was like, now I was like looking up like octopus chandeliers for that little area in my house. But oh man, it's so cool. The ocean is so cool. It's so mysterious. And I think it's so amazing because we keep finding out such amazing facts about the ocean as we explore it more. And like I said, I'm just hoping we get a lot of research and we find Hollow Earth and we're like, Earth is so cool. But yeah, I wanted to thank you all for listening. I know that the Bermuda Triangle is, especially for us growing up in the 80s and 90s, and even prior to that, you know, the Bermuda Triangle was highly sensationalized. And I mean, it was all over the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle, like ghost ships. And now finding out like there's like, see, the thing is like, that's why I kind of like this, like deep dives at this, because I only knew kind of like surface level Bermuda Triangle, right? I knew that like things had come up missing, but I didn't know the story of the Ellen Austin. I didn't know the story of the USS Cyclops. I didn't know that there were tons of stories of pirates and sea monsters in that region. And then I started to put everything together. I was like, okay. All right, Bermuda Triangle. I'll see what you got going on. But it's still fun to read about. And whether or not this is just a part of the earth that has tons of storms and just it kind of wrecks people, literally, it's definitely still interesting to learn about, because these stories over time can be explained sometimes by rational things, but sometimes it does leave a little bit of a mystery about them. So I love that. But yeah, I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope we have an expert on the Bermuda Triangle listening, because I would love to dive into this again and maybe do like a part two follow up. Because like I said, there was tons of stories about the Bermuda Triangle. I mean, you've got hundreds of years of weird stuff happening. And like I said, it was only like basically called the Bermuda Triangle after like the big sensationalism of it, you know, after the 50s. But, you know, it was called the Devil's Triangle. So you have this area of the sea that is kind of like this weird, mysterious place. And I think that it's just kind of cool to read about. And I really, really enjoyed deep diving into this, because like I said, there was a lot of things that I didn't know about this region. And so doing this little bit of research kind of like made it kind of fun for me this week. So thanks, y'all. Thanks, y'all. But yeah. Now, other than that, like I said, my patrons on Patreon are voting right now on the cryptids, and the American sea creatures and cryptids are winning. So I feel like you all are on board with me doing this whole sea kick and this nautical kick. So I'm so excited. I mean, but there are so many sea creatures and cryptids all over the world. And so if you all live in a region that has one, please leave a comment. Let me know so I can add it to my list. I have like a never ending list of cryptids to look into, which I think is so cool. Earth is cool, man. Yeah, I'd also real quick like to thank everybody for listening to my last Campfire Tales episode. Like I said in prior episodes, I am like dying to be able to go outside and have like almost like an Are You Afraid of the Dark setup with my Campfire Tales, where I can have like a fun little book, and then I add everybody's stories that they send into it, and then I read from that and have like a creepy little campfire. But that's kind of the hope. I would love that. That's like my goal. That's like, I want to do like outdoor, like campfire tales. So, so hopefully this summer when it gets nice out, I can do that. But yeah, other than that, I hope you all have been having a great week. As far as movies I've been watching, I did watch on Tubi. Y'all know I love me some Tubi, but I did watch Slay on Tubi and I loved it. It was such a fun watch. It has a couple of the contestants from RuPaul's Drag Race in it. And I just thought it was such a fun story. I just thought it was such a fun take on vampires. And honestly, the characters were so likable. The story was amazing. I like teared up a few times. So I was like, this is, I don't want to drop the F-bomb, but I was like, this is adorable. Okay. But yeah, I loved it. And so if you're looking for a fun vampire flick, I highly recommend Slay, because it effing slayed. As far as other things I've been watching, oh shoot, I really haven't been watching much lately. I've been trying to pack in my research for the Bermuda Triangle, but also like kind of like plan out a lot of other like fun episodes coming up this summer. So I'm really excited. But yeah, so if you all have any recommendations on what to watch, or if I'm missing anything that's on TV, or any good movies that are out, please let me know. I'm dying to watch all the good scary and sci-fi movies. It's my favorite. So definitely leave a comment for me below if there's anything that you've been watching that you think I should watch. But yeah, so that's my episode on the Bermuda Triangle. If anybody has anything to add, or you think that I need to do a part two, I honestly, there's so many things about it that I would love to have like an expert on it, you know, because obviously I'm not an expert. I just read, do my research, and I'm like a good little research leprechaun over here. But it's so fun and I love it. But yeah, I wanted to thank everyone so much for hanging out with me for another episode. You all know I love my sea stuff. And when it comes to the ocean, I honestly should just make another podcast that's called Ocean Shit, I guess. Like, I just love it. Like weird ocean shit is going to be my next podcast name. It's just going to be dedicated to the ocean and all the weird stuff and weird creatures and weird events and ghost ships and stories and legends and everything, because, oh gosh, it's so good. It's so good. These are so fun to record. And honestly, I have so much fun reading about all this stuff. It's like my favorite. Like I was watching a documentary and then I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, I have that book. So of course I had to go read the book. But yeah, I want to thank everybody so much again for hanging out for another episode. And you guys are the best campers on earth. So thank you so much for that. And I hope you guys have a great day full of sunshine and good food. And in the meantime, until the next episode, take care.